Welcome in episode 155 of the Golly Young Men podcast. As always, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Like our podcast, subscribe to the podcast if you are not on YouTube, Spotify, podcast app, Apple Podcasts, whatever it is. Subscribe, leave us a rating. Joe, I'm excited for this episode. I'm always excited for our episodes. It's one of my favorite things to do. We have got an episode this week where we are – it's a bit of a continuation. Obviously, the themes of marriage and themes of being a husband and a father would comprise, what, 50 to 60% of the episodes that we do, right? And so this one is going to be the second week in a row. We'll be back next week with something a little bit different. But we are still talking marriage this week, and we're talking about something that is specific within marriage and specifically within early years of marriage. And so if you are – engaged, talking to a girl fairly seriously. Obviously, if you are married, newly married, this will be especially relevant to you. We would argue this is relevant to any golly young man who is listening. If you're way off from marriage or if you've been married for a long time, this will still be hopefully very applicable to you. But Joe, get us into exactly what we're talking about with this episode.
Yes, so we are calling this Passing the Test. Anybody who's in Manosphere circles will recognize it by a different name.
There's an additional word.
Yeah, we're not gonna use that word on this podcast because it is an expletive. But
Passing the Test.
Yes, the garbage test. I guess we'll call it. And some people may be very upset by that because it's kind of a controversial thing within the Manosphere. We happen to think it's very legitimate. I happen to think that this is a something that happens quite a bit. So when you think about the test, as we're talking about it, when it comes to defining what it really is a woman kind of pushing a man's boundaries to see what can I get away with, almost. And I think it's very subconscious. I don't think this is a conscious thing. I think it's a very subconscious thing on the woman's part to push a man in a specific area, one way or the other. So it'd be, we were talking about it, and it's, I think Doug Wilson uses this as an illustration for this. It's the idea of a guy who plans a very special night for the woman. They both get dressed up. He's got reservations at a very nice restaurant, and he's really looking forward to it. This is something that he's put a lot of time and effort into, and he has the night and shows up to the restaurant, and the woman goes, "I don't like this. I don't want to go here." Now, that for the average person may look at it and might go, for the average guy and the nice guy in America might look at it and go, "Well, what's the big deal? Just go where she wants to go." This is a test. This is this test. It is a pushing back on it, saying, "What's he willing to do for me? What's he going to do? Is he going to change all the plans, the reservations, everything he had, the special night that he had available, so that we can go do what I want to do? Or is he going to stay the course and stay there?" And Doug's point is that the man would be best off staying the course and going, "No, we can go do what you want tomorrow night. Tonight is a night that is special. It's something that I've set up. I've already made reservations here. This is where we're going to go." And what that does is it tells the woman who is in charge of the relationship. It tells her who the man is. This is why the feminists and a lot of people may look at it, even Christians may look at it and go, "Well, you can't really say those things." First off, you can. Second off, this happens all the time in basically every relationship, from a female pushing the man in all sorts of ways. Anyway, any introduction?
Well, yeah, let me just say this. So it goes without saying that it absolutely takes two people to make a marriage blossom and be just full of joy and just an enormous blessing, right? You heard that that kind of statement about it's not two people giving 50-50, it's two people giving 100%. I fully agree with that. Obviously, then, it is the alternative to that would be it also then would – if a marriage is crumbling and does not have an overabundance of joy and is kind of cold and just not a good marriage, it also takes two. We've all seen the people we've all seen the marriages where the husband is kind of the main problem. We've seen the marriages where the husband is aloof. Maybe he's completely domineering.
Yeah, just a jerk.
Yep. Maybe he's just a complete jerk. Just couldn't really care less about his family. Feeds his own selfish needs. Right. That's we know what that looks like. It's no secret that there are the majority of marriages that are crumbling these days. That's really not the case. Usually, what is happening is kind of the reverse, and what it is the happiness of the woman drives the happiness of the
marriage. Drives the marriage, yeah. Drives the marriage. Everything.
It sets the tone for the marriage. And we've talked about setting the tone before, specifically in regards to just the joy, the attitude of the marriage, the way it radiates. I mean, you see, if you're hopefully you're a church-going person, walk into church, you can spot these types of marriages.
Oh, yeah.
They walk in, couple walks in, not a smile to be found. They're not walking close to each other. They don't sit close to each other during the service. No physical affection whatsoever. You can see it. You can also obviously see the alternative, which is just beautiful every time. You know, smiles on their faces. They're sitting closer, that kind of thing. What we're talking about with this episode is this idea of the wife's, and specifically with this test, the wife's happiness completely driving it, and you as the husband placating that.
Correct.
And this test is kind of the precursor to it, as much as, you know, I understand from what I can tell from what I've read about this kind of thing. If you allow your wife and her mood, her, again, just kind of her persona, her attitude really is the main thing. If that is the driver of your marriage, that usually is going to start early on with this particular test. So sorry to give the
long rant great.
There, but there are a lot of marriages these days driven by that, where the husband wakes up every day basically, how can I placate my wife? It's not about like not serving your wife or not doing what you can to make her happy. That's not what we're talking about. It's more so she's, you know, the mood of the house is dictated by her. That's a problem.
Right. Yeah, and this shows up in a lot of different areas, a lot of different ways that this is manifested. But let me say this before we get into some of those. This is a very smart thing for the woman to do. I do think it's very subconscious, but it's also very smart. So it's going to sound maybe denigrating to women. Not in the least. I think they're wise to do it, and here's why. They need to know how much they can trust the guy. They need to know, if you think of it like ice, another Doug Wilson illustration actually on this. If you think about it like ice, she needs to know how thick it is. How sturdy is it? How thick is the ice? If I push out, how much can I trust him to take the leadership? How much can I trust him to make the right decision? How much can I trust him to, you know, to stand up and to save her even from herself at times? Mm-hmm. How much can she trust it? So of course, she's going to subconsciously do a few things here or there just to test how thick is that ice. And once she steps through it, it's like, well, now I know. I know that, and most of the time it actually ends up shrinking back where the guy has hardly any say in the marriage. And either it becomes a lot of this, or the guy is a, well, yes, dear, yes, ma'am, okay, all the time, kind of just a yes man, really, where he just placates his wife, plays to her happiness all the time. A woman is smart to initially, early on in the relationship, that's usually where it happens, to early on in the relationship have this. So examples, we talked about the one at the restaurant, it may seem petty, and that's what people, they miss this so often, because it's like, oh, are you kidding? You know, something that small, it's like, yes, they're microcosms. Yeah. They tell a much bigger story. Every little moment tells a much bigger story. A woman who, you know, chews the guy out because in front of all his friends because he didn't get her the right gift, or because, you know, he kind of looks like an idiot, and she jokes and
very kinda, publicly.
Yeah, very expense, publicly. Yeah. Exactly. And humiliates him to some degree, or doesn't stand up with him to a friend who's kind of gossiping about him. Those are the test type of thing that it's put in front of her. She can choose him, she can choose the relationship, or she can choose her own happiness, she can choose her friends, she can choose her family, she can choose those things. She has a choice. And a lot of times the test will be put in front of her, and then she brings it to the guy. And he has to decide in that moment, something like modesty. She may test the bounds of modesty just to see, what's he going to do? Is he going to let me go out dressing like a, you know what? Is that going to happen, or is he going to put his foot down and say, absolutely not? Go, well, her body, her choice. That's the problem. You've already lost the test.
Yeah.
Because the moment that she does that, it's like, I'm in charge of my own domain. I'm in charge of everything else. And it's like, well, then she has no safety. Because at what point does the guy draw the line and go, whoa, that's too far? Well, you've let it go all along the way. And so something like modesty, again, something like jokes at his expense, something like getting chewed out. You see a woman who really chews on her guy and just choose him out in front of other people, or even when he comes home, he did the wrong thing. And it's like, what are you going to do in that moment? That is the test. And are you going to pass it, or are you going to fail? And the failure of the test is whatever's going to placate, whatever's going to keep her happy, and please just settle down. We go to the last, this is why this is a continuation from last week, when we talked about being the boy in the relationship. Women subconsciously want to see how much can they domineer, because that is all the way back to Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
You will desire your husband, which means you'll desire your husband's role. That is a curse on Eve, that she's always going to desire his headship, his role. And so, yes, that's a part of the process, is to push the boundaries in those areas and to see, is the guy going to hold?
Well, a couple thoughts on this. The first one that comes to mind is you do see this in other areas of life, and we're gonna get flamed for making this comparison. Not saying that women are children. Children do this, right? Children absolutely will do this kind of test the boundaries thing, sure. Right? I've got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. I deal with that a good bit, right? You tell them no, you know, and you see it with parents too. You know, don't touch the outlet. What do they do? Touch the outlet. What are you gonna do about that? Or the old, I'm gonna spank you if you do that. They do that, and then they don't get spanked. What does that tell them, right? Right. But you know, again, not to just use that example, within organizations as well, within companies, employees will test the boundaries a bit. You know, what can I get away with? What, you know, people say you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. It's very true, and I've used this definition on the podcast before, but it's not unique to me. Something that I learned while at Chick-fil-A, something my boss actually shared that might not be unique to him either, but I love this definition of culture. It's the intersection of what is expected and what is allowed. Mm. And so you see that exact type of thing here within your marriage is what is the intersection of what you expect and what you allow? Are you going to allow basically you to get walked all over essentially? And again, we don't need to give the qualifier every time that you shouldn't be domineering or walk all over your wife either. However, again, nowadays in today's society, it is the reverse most of the time. It is the wife walking over the husband. It is the, and that was the other thing I was going to say is you might be thinking you're keeping her happy. What you're not doing is giving her any reason to respect you.
Right.
So she might, you know, be in a decent mood, or she might, you might not have to sleep on the couch. She's not going to respect you. Right. And you can look up any study in the world that would prove that. And so, sorry, Joe, I don't know where you want to go next, but I wanted to mention that about respect. And then also just, you see this other places. You see this with kids. You see it in corporations with employees. And like, anytime there's hierarchy, it's going to take
place. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's baked into hierarchy. Yes. The people are going to push back on the government. Even the flock pushes back on eldership from time to time. They kind of test the boundaries. What's allowed at the church, you know, is gossip going to be allowed? Those are testing of the boundaries to say, what is the eldership essentially going to do here?
Yeah.
It happens in every form. We do it with God. We test the boundaries and he disciplines us as a good God does. And in this situation, it's not like disciplining your wife as much as it's setting the boundaries for this is what goes, the culture. I love that. This is what's expected. This is what's allowed here. And this is what's not allowed. And so having that creates the safety she's looking for. It's really important to pass the test, not just for your sake, so you're not miserable for the rest of your life, so that she's safe. And she's not miserable for the rest of your life, running you over and running the home through her own lens of happiness. That's not healthy for any person. It's not healthy for you, and it's not healthy for her. So the goal here is not, well, I want my way and not her way. That's not what's going on here. The goal is what is best for the relationship and what is the expectation here. And so the test is not my way versus her way as much as is, here's what's set out. Here's the boundaries. Here's what I've decided is important for the relationship, for the future of the relationship. She goes to usurp that. That's the test. So how do you recognize this?
That's what I was going to ask you.
How do you recognize this? I was going to ask you then and let you get your thoughts. But
that's good.
I mean, the first thing that I would say on recognizing it is, have the boundaries been clearly defined? Have you come out and said something of, this is the way we're going to do it, and is she pushing back on that specifically? Or even if a boundary hasn't been defined, is there something that is majorly at your expense that is going to break the relationship? So I'll tell you mine. Alyssa did do this. And
I was going to ask. I didn't want to out her.
Yep. Alyssa did do this.
The patron saint of the podcast.
And again, you're not a bad person for it. It's the same as last episode, you know, with the boy versus man. You're not a bad guy. It just means there's a lot of work to do. And I think in this situation, my wife's not bad for it. I think there's an intelligence aspect to doing that. But yes, it was early on. And she was upset with me for something. And I think I had relapsed or something like that very early on in the relationship. And she,
post-marriage,
I knew.
Post-marriage, I'm assuming?
No, this was early. This is before. Okay. This is pre-marriage. And we were not super far in, but enough where we were serious. We were courting,
sure,
you know.
Yeah.
And for like a week, things were very off.
Was it cold shoulder?
Cold shoulder, short texts, you know, the getting on and just like weird, you know, you could just feel this eeriness. And I kept asking her, what's going on, you know, I know that probably that this hurt you, I'm sure that it did, and I want to make amends, and I'm trying to do all the things that I know how to do, and give me nothing. Well, Sunday morning rolls around. This happened on like, I think the last Saturday, so it was like 8 days or something like that. And Sunday rolls around, I'm preaching, and she had sent a text at like, I think I got it at 1 a.m I didn't get it until the next morning, and I was getting ready to go preach. And it was about an hour before I was preaching. And I saw this, and it was this long thing of, I don't know that we can still be in the relationship. And just basically ripped me apart all the things that she needed to say that I had asked her to say.
For the previous week leading up to it.
Yeah, for the last 8 days I had asked her, and it was very passive-aggressive in tone, and I hit the roof. And it was one of those that's like, you'll never do that again. And you sound like, you know, I sound like a jerk for saying it. I said, I have no problem with you being mad. I assumed you would be mad, and I deserve that. What I don't deserve and what will not fly is the passive aggressive, the lying to me for a week. It's fine. It's fine. It's okay. It's okay.
Right.
Only to ambush me and send an incredibly long passive aggressive text that is basically putting the relationship on the line when you didn't tell me any of this and gave me no chance to defend myself. And you're now saying it here when I've been asking. There's time to let people process things like that. But I'd also seen a little bit of this pattern already taking place in the passive aggressive. You put an end to it pretty quick. And I said, you'll never do that again. I will be open to hear whatever you have to say. But we're never going to do that again where we wait a week and I'm going to have the ambush. That's not going to fly.
And where would you have failed? Where you would have failed is if you had groveled.
Correct.
You're so right. I'm so sorry. You know, again, groveled, begged for forgiveness, essentially. And again, that's not to say you don't admit wrongdoing. In this instance, Joe clearly did. And I've heard this story before. But it does not mean that you roll over and grovel. If that had happened, that would have been failing the test.
And that set the tone. In my opinion, I passed it, that set the tone. In my opinion, our communication, and I deal with couples for a living, our communication is one of the best I've seen, and it's because we work on it all the time. That's not to pat myself on the back. It's to say, I know the importance of this, and my wife is a fantastic communicator, and we talk about things all the time, and she has never done that again, and that has set the tone for a very healthy, happy relationship where we don't have these issues. I didn't grovel. I did own it. We talked about ownership. I took ownership and I apologized for my part in it. But to me, that was a huge test of what's he going to do when I cold shoulder him for 7-8 days straight and then I drop the bomb on him. How's he going to handle it? And it's
and
like,
I'm, to your point, I'm sure it wasn't malicious of like, here's not what I'm going to do. It was just more of a subconscious thing. When you ask how to recognize one, that's what I was going to bring up was the passive aggressiveness. Mm-hmm. We're going to do an episode on that from a man's perspective of why it's just probably the worst trait in the world for a man to be passive aggressive. Women are more naturally passive aggressive in some instances, but that's what I was going to say is from my experience, what I've seen, an element of it is the passive aggressiveness. They're not going to come out and say it. It's just going to be more so subtle. But Joe, we kind of already broached this idea of how to pass the test, I should say. You don't grovel. If you're in the right, if you're not in the right and you feel like maybe you have also been wrong, two wrongs don't make a right. If you do something wrong within your marriage and your spouse retaliates in a wrong way but still holds that moral high ground, you don't just kind of give in and yield it and say, you know what, you're right. You have the high ground here. That you will fail the test in that instance. And so not groveling, not rolling over again doesn't mean you never apologize, but what it does mean is that you don't allow your wife in this instance to set the tone in that way.
Right.
You clearly did not. I was trying to think if I'm sure Rachel did at some point. I truly have no remembrance. We're gonna go inside and eat dinner here pretty soon and I'll ask her if she remembers anything. I don't. I'm sure she did, but again, it's about, we keep using the phrase, what is the tone of your relationship gonna be? Is she gonna run the show or are you gonna run the show?
And is it going to be combative? Is this going to be an ongoing thing? Hmm. If I knew that Alyssa, you know, I feel like I passed that one. I kind of say, hey, that is not okay. That communication, the form of communication, the passive aggressive, the cold shouldering, that's not okay. And then another week goes by and she does it again. Another week goes by, she does it again. And I'm constantly having to do it, even if I've passed the test. That's a real problem. Well, and that's one of the questions is like, when do you call it quits? When do you leave a relationship?
Real fast, sorry. Before you get to that, I apologize. I should have said this a second ago. One of the ways you pass on this, and this is what in the Church of Christ specifically, we are so unable to do, you call the woman out. That's how you pass.
Yeah.
Men are so afraid to do that right now. And again, I hate to keep giving the qualifiers. Like, you have to apologize and take ownership when you do something wrong as well. But man, we are allergic to calling our wives out in so many instances. Where you pass the test is if she deserves to be called out, she gets called out. If she does in this instance, Alyssa clearly did, that gets called out. Where the test gets failed is if that just never really goes addressed. That never really gets brought back up again. All the focus is on your mistake and how you contributed to the problem. Yep. None of the focus is on how she contributed to it. I think so much about how in the church, from pulpits, from preachers, from elders, if a woman has an issue, man, that just very rarely gets called out. If a man does, man, we'll call that out right away, right? Oh, he shouldn't be doing that. He shouldn't. call it out. That's how to pass. I'm sorry to cut you off, but that's
such a neat point.
An element of passing the test that I think has to be said is you are willing to call it out. You're willing to call a thing a thing. This is the way it is. This is what you did. This is why it's wrong. If you don't call it out, you fail.
Well, and you're calling out patterns more than anything else. Sure. It's not just calling out her. You're calling out the very pattern, the very structure of like, I see what you're doing here. You know, you're trying to get one over on me, or you're trying to take control in this moment, and I see that. And so you don't have to be completely a jerk about it or you know, completely overt about it. As much as you're able to see the pattern and call it out in real time, like, hey, that's not what we do here. That's the setting of the culture that we talk about, is that's not what we do here. What we do here is I will take that into consideration, and I love you and I cherish you and I care about what you have to say. You're not gonna run over me. You're not gonna make the decision, you know, every single time. And if I do something special and you just, you know, yeah, poo-poo it, like, I'm trying to think of a nice way to say it, and you just kind of push to the side, that hurts, and that's not okay. And so we call some of these things out. And, yeah, she's going to probably end up needing to call you out from time to time and say, hey, that's not okay either, and we got to be humble in our approach to it. But this is more of, once again, a safety thing for them. Can I get a, like, can I trust him to hold the line in this instance? I mean, there's, I'm trying to think of other, hopefully this is making sense to everybody. And if you go online and look at it in the manosphere, there are some people that go nuts with it. There are people that take it really, really far, almost take a punitive approach. It's not about punishing the woman. It's not about, you know, just being this macho type figure. It's like, no, I am a man and I'm going to be masculine and I am going to lead the relationship. And so when we sense that a test is taking place, yeah, it's okay to call that out. And just to say, hey, that's not what we do here, and I really don't appreciate that, and no, we're not going to do that this time. Something along those lines. But what happens if again, you're passing the test, but one after another, it just keeps coming up. That's where you do have to consider, is this time to leave the relationship? Is this time to leave it behind?
If you're unmarried, obviously.
If you're unmarried, of course. If you're married, well, we'll get to that in a second on what happens if you don't pass and if you're, you know, married. But when do you leave the relationship behind? I do think that if a woman is constantly pushing back, you have yourself a feminist, and it's a very scary place. A lot of guys, they won't pass, and they don't want to leave the relationship either. Man, we're so far in. Now she's pushing the boundaries. She's kind of running over you. Your buddies are like, dude, this does not look good. You know, but it's kind of the cost sunk fallacy. Like, I'm this far in, or sunk cost fallacy. I'm this far in. Man, what are you going to do? It's like, no, you're not far in at all. Lord willing, you get married for 50 years. You're going to be miserable for 50 years because you couldn't say no right now. You couldn't pass the test. Or if you didn't, now it's like, well, this is my lot in life. It doesn't have to be. If you're not married and you have a woman who is constantly pushing behind or pushing the boundaries and you're constantly, you know, feeling run over, strongly consider leaving the relationship. Yeah. Seek counsel, seek advice, talk to your parents, talk to your friends, talk to people that are on the outside looking in. But if you see that it's like, man, this is nothing but constant tests, you are in for a very, very long life, in my opinion, because that's all you're going to get. It's not to say that she can't come around, but if there's zero give on her part and it's nothing but kind of the punitive, again, you got to think about the next 50 plus years of your life potentially.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have much to add on that. As we're kind of, this is going to probably be a little bit shorter episode. We've gone long in the last couple. So,
yep. But what happens if you don't pass? I want you to hit on that real fast.
So the first thing that comes to mind for me is the more times that it's honestly to me, I hate to keep going back to this example, but to me it applies perfectly. It's just like with your kid. The more time you tell them you're going to spank them and you don't, the harder it's going to be for you to then go back and apply that discipline later, right? Similarly here, if you don't pass the test, that test will probably come again. And then it's going to be, you're doubling your work. Essentially, you're going to have to pass the test and the next four after you fail the first one. And again, this differs based on the woman, of course. This differs based on the individual. But what you do when you fail the, or when you don't pass the test, when you fail, is you are setting a pattern. You are setting a tone in a negative way of, oh, okay, if I push this button, this happens. If I use this word problematic or not okay, you know, like kind of those, some those buzzwords phrases, buzzwords that get used. Oh, if I do that, then okay, that's toxic. Then that's just an immediate. I kind of get what I want. I get the groveling. I get the whatever it is. And so, curious what thoughts you have on that as well, Joe. But it is, to me, it is the idea of you just have you're digging yourself a deeper hole every time you fail the test.
It's insanely difficult to get out of that hole. I would tell you that. Worked with plenty of guys that I would say have found themselves in this situation. And it is, I just tell them right up front, like, it's going to take a year or two of basically you not losing a battle of wills.
You just got to start, basically. Yeah.
You got to start, and you can't really lose another battle of wills for a long time, and you're going to be viewed as the biggest jerk on the planet. It just is what it is, and it's not to be punitive. It's to reset yourself as an authority figure in the home. They're not going to like it because once you get used to having
it.
Correct.
Right,
yeah. Once you get used to having the authority, somebody challenging that's like, I don't care if it's your husband. It doesn't feel right, and you don't feel, the woman doesn't feel safe with him as an authority figure. So he's got to be Johnny on the spot when it comes to his spiritual life, when it comes to him taking care of himself. It's really tough to command authority if you are, man, if you got a massive porn addiction that she knows about. Obviously, hopefully she knows about it. But, you know, you got something hidden in the closet type of thing, or you're majorly overweight, you're not taking care of your health at all, you never hit the gym, you don't do those things. It's like she needs to see that you are working on yourself and that you respect yourself. And then in that self-respect, you say, no, this is what we're, where we're going from here. You reestablish the vision and be prepared to dogfight your way out of it. And that sounds dramatic. It is what it is. You will be pushed back on a ton. And then there goes the sex. She's not going to sleep with you anymore. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, unfortunately in this, the woman ends up leaving. But you have to determine, is it kind of like, you know what, I'd rather die on my feet or would I rather die on my feet or live on my knees type of thing. Like, do you really want to have to grovel for the rest of your life? Reestablish it, and I do think she will respect you, especially if there's any semblance of Christianity in there. She will begin to respect it, and you can help her see, I'm trying to do this God's way. I'm trying to be the best husband I can be. I'm giving you as much love and cherishing you as much as possible, but I also have enough self-respect to not let this continue.
Yeah.
And so if you have not passed the test, if you're before marriage, reassert yourself as, okay, I am the leader in the relationship. Yeah, I saw that and I let that go. And you know what? The more I think about it, the more that's not okay. That's not what we're doing in this relationship, and see how she takes it. After, yeah, be prepared to fight your way out of it for a time. And it's not easy, but I think It's rewarding.
I mean, last thing I'll say is if you're on the Discord and you have questions about this,
yep,
let us know. You have a direct line communication to us. If you're not on the Discord, join the Discord. The link is in the description as always. But Joe, I'll let you wrap us here in a second. This is something that most guys, I would say, are going to deal with at some point. Again, depending on the female, how often is it going to take place? And again, as I started the episode with, there are so many marriages that are just driven by women and their emotions and
their whims,
their moods, their all those things. Man, don't let that drive the marriage. Don't fail the test so many times that you're basically just not even essentially the leader in your home, as we talked about last week as well. So those are my closing thoughts.
Yeah, what your wife wants is important, but it's not penultimate. So you take it into consideration, you let her know how much you love her, thank her for it. That can't be the driving force. It has to be done in a, hey, I've got a vision as to where we're going. And if that clashes with the vision, you've got to be willing to cut the loss and realize my dignity matters more than this relationship. Me being a man and going forward matters more than this relationship. So if you are not married, be willing to cut it off. And if you're not, that tells you are, in my opinion, you're so invested in the relationship, you've lost yourself along the way. That speaks to almost codependency. That's not good either. You need to be okay with, and this is where I was with Alyssa when she almost broke up, and what kind of brought her back was like, okay, if that's the way it's going to be, you know, if that's how it is. And then as we talked about it more, it was like, this is not how we communicate. Don't ever communicate this way again. But initially it was like, if that's the answer, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to make amends where possible, but I can't force you into anything. And it was one of those like, oh.
She, not to speak for her or you, she tried to, it seems like she tried to claim the moral high ground.
Correct.
And you basically took it back and said, no. If you live in a marriage with an unequal playing field of the moral high ground all the time, it's just, it's going to be a problem.
It was the doghouse, you know.
It was the doghouse.
The couch and I don't, and all those tropes, as I've said before, I don't believe in the doghouse. I own the doghouse, and I'm not going in the doghouse. That doesn't mean make me perfect. It means we stay outside the doghouse. We own our problems, and we work through it like adults.
Yeah.
Like, instead of being boys, like we talked about. And
working
so, yeah.
Through like grown adults.
Yeah. Exactly. But anyway, hopefully this makes sense. I'm bloviating at this point and just going on and on. But hopefully it makes sense. As Will said, join the Discord. Ask your questions in the Discord. We will be sure to get to those. And we appreciate you listening. Appreciate you watching. Make sure to tune in next week. We got another great episode. And this has been episode 155 of the Godly Amen podcast. We will talk to you again next week.